Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Yeah, not only is it Sunday evening, but it's the last few hours of the year.
Yeah.
The last few hours of 2017 A.D.
Yeah. A.D.
For the secularists out there.
We're not in B.C.?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I was gonna.
Yeah, once in a while when I talk to people who are really secular, I say, well, that's interesting that the years are numbered from Jesus on. I'm surprised. Well, I guess they couldn't change it now because it was called chaos. It would cause chaos.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the last show, the very end of the year, it's like 4.5 hours till the new year. Who could believe it's going to be 2018?
There's probably some people thought that they would never see the end of 2017.
Yeah. It just seems like a little while ago that we were worried about Y2K. And then 9/11 happened, and now it's already 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the year.
Time marches on.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think at the end of the year, it's a good idea to kind of reflect over what's happened in the past year, and then, of course, think about what's going to happen in the coming year. In fact, you know, our month of January is named for the Roman god Janus, who had two faces, one that looked backwards and one that looked forward. And so they named the month January after him because, you know, you look back and you look forward.
Wow.
And even though, of course, we don't worship pagan gods here.
So January is a pagan month.
Concept.
My goodness.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jeez. I mean, all the days of the week are named after pagan gods. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, but, you know, try changing it now and it would cause chaos.
True. Very true.
I mean, if you said instead of Tuesday, we're going to call it Mary Magdalene, people would say, what?
What day is that?
So
where's that in the New Testament?
So, you know, some thoughts at the end of 2017. And boy, like you say, it's in some ways, it's been a very long year. It's the first time in my life that I don't watch the news anymore because it's really pretty unbearable.
Yeah.
You know, I can't watch it for more than about 98 seconds, and then I have to leave.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty ridiculous. Yeah. But some exciting things have happened. Like this was the – last year people were saying Merry Christmas, and this year lots of people were saying Merry Christmas.
That's true.
I mean, almost everybody. I heard very few Happy Holidays.
Yeah, I heard some people talking on the – actually two commentators talking on the radio the other day, and they were like – you know, all these people that say there was an assault on Christmas. See, I didn't see that. I'm thinking, where were you living at the last, you know, 8, 16, 20 years?
Yeah.
Where were you at?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I worked in corporate America. If you even had something red or green, they frowned upon it.
Oh, yeah.
And those are secular colors for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can't have red or green. It might offend somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even talking, you know, the words Merry Christmas or Keep Christ in Christmas. So I think they were really out of touch with what's been going on. And, you know, culturally, we kind of the church really kowtows to what's going on in culture.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the church being a light to the nations like we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we see what happened to the Jewish people when they weren't a light to the nations.
Yeah.
Instead of being a light to the nations and countering it, we get scared and we go, oh, I don't want to offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not what God calls us to do. Yeah. That's not being a disciple or an ambassador for Jesus Christ who died and rose from the dead for your salvation.
Amen. And that went on for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm old enough where I saw the whole spectrum of the thing because, you know.
You saw the rainbow?
Yeah.
The original?
Wow.
Yeah, with Noah.
Wow.
But
you're aging pretty
well. You know, looking back, like through the, I don't know when it exactly started, but in the 60s and 70s, nobody would have said happy holidays.
Right.
In the 80s, I think is probably when it sort of got started. Then when it got into the 90s, it was full blown.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. And mm-hmm. you couldn't say anything. And in fact, I used to counter it by saying, well, you know, if you don't believe this is the Christmas holiday, why are you celebrating a winter holiday? It's kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell federal employees they should have to work Christmas Day since the federal government doesn't recognize Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, of course, oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, we, but, you know, it's people are now starting to kind of take some things back. Like, I think people are getting tired of all the political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting tired of the happy holidays. People are getting tired that you can't say Jesus or even God in public.
Right.
But you can hear any number of other things.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's the events of this past year, you know, kind of show that I don't know if it's most people, but at least half the people are tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other half, the other side is pretty entrenched into a lot of pretty weird stuff.
Yeah.
And that's going to go on. And you can't really, like we've discussed many times, it's hard to counteract that by using, in the old days, you could use Judeo-Christian morality and Judeo-Christian thinking as kind of, well, what do you think about this? But now you really can't do that because nobody even knows what that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you mention the Ten Commandments, everybody looks at you like, you know, they could barely tell you two out of the ten.
True.
Let alone anything else. And, you know, when you see life issues and the, you know, stuff that's going on with so-called marriages.
Yeah.
And when you say, well, no, that's not a marriage, you know, people look at you like, well, that's what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kind of people, you know, I have to say that, you know, my wife and I used to do a lot of stuff in the pro-life movement in Washington, D.C., and it was all about influencing the government and being at the Supreme Court and being at the Congress. And then, you know, it was exciting to be there and it was exciting to talk with all those people.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be always this, well, if you get one more Supreme Court justice, well, if we got a couple of more senators, well, if we have, you know, a president and three more senators, you know, we can. But you know what? It finally dawned on me one day that you have to change people one heart at a time.
Yep.
It's very, you can't really change it from the top.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have, you know, Mother Teresa as president and it's not going to filter down through the whole place.
Right. You know, in fairness to the two commentators that were talking on the radio the other day, the one of them did say eventually, he goes, you know, it's not that, it's not about putting Christ back into Christmas. It's like putting Christ back into the Christian.
Yeah, that's good.
And what you're saying, that goes along with what you're saying, because, you know, you can have, do you want a righteous leader, a person that fears God? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We should.
Yes.
Because the alternative is if somebody doesn't fear God and they don't really care about any of those things, then you can't expect them to have the same common interest as you're going to have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, but even people that are in that hold offices, you know, when they say, well, I can't let my beliefs influence what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
If your belief system doesn't influence what you do, then what good is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any, a bit of sense.
Right.
Because culture is something that just happens in and of itself. I mean, culture just happens because people do certain things and it becomes norms in a culture.
Yes.
And if you don't, if we as a believer don't influence the norms of the culture in a Christian way, in a lay way that is promoted in the, you know, the self-respect or the respect of the dignity of the human person and in love,
mm-hmm.
then are we going to expect somebody else to do that who doesn't hold those beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any, you know, it doesn't make a bit of sense.
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, you know, a lot of the stuff that's in the culture, in the world, comes into the church and it diminishes the light of the gospel. And yet we're supposed to be the light to the, you know, we're supposed to be the light of the gospel to the people.
Yeah.
And
Jesus said you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket.
Exactly. But a lot of people want to put their...
Yes. And people want to talk about the... You know, want to talk about these things in the safety of their church on Sunday morning.
Right.
And, you know, want to talk about it at their Bible study and want to talk about it at their prayer group or home group or whatever. But when they're out in the society, they say, well, they don't say anything.
Yeah. Or they want to have these meetings, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, some people do that. They can influence things behind the scenes. But Jesus, you know, God says, I didn't speak from some dark place of hiding.
Exactly.
I didn't create the world to be an empty waste. I created it to be lived in. And if you're not, you know, are there prudent times where maybe you want to do something behind the scenes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there times where you need to speak the truth in public? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all part of the, you know, being a disciple.
Yeah. And we can go on and on talking about these things, but it's...
We could.
And the basic thing is you hear the term post-Christian, and you hear that Europe has been post-Christian for quite a bit longer than we have. We became post-Christian later.
Right.
And,
We
certainly caught up. And, you know, you have countries in Europe that have assisted suicide, and now you're having some states here that Oregon and California have it now. It's only a matter of time till it's going to be elsewhere.
Yeah.
The unlimited abortion at any time during the pregnancy. I mean, literally up until the day the baby's supposed to be born, you can abort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things are just, this would have been unheard of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not too long ago. I mean, this is barbaric.
Yeah.
I mean, the Nazis didn't even do that.
Yeah.
And
like you were saying, it's, you know, you would think, okay, we have one more Supreme Court justice, we have one more or two more senators. And those things are important because a lot of the decisions that are made do affect, you know, they govern or governed by government. But it's not just those individuals that need to have the courage to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
The whole church needs to have the courage to stand up.
Yes.
The whole body of believers needs to have the courage to stand up. And that's where you make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, if you read Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, and I usually give people scriptures to read for their homework. Read this for your homework. You can Google it. I'm sure it'll pop up in a second. But you know, it's an amazing speech where he talks about slavery was our national sin, and we enslaved people and we beat people, and every drop of blood we shed from these people we're now paying for by our blood being shed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing Judeo-Christian speech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if somebody gave that speech now, it would be impossible.
Wow.
Or you hear about, if you look through the speeches various presidents have made, if we stick with U.S. history, God's always mentioned.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
true.
You can look back to, you know, as recently as I don't know when the cutoff was, presidents always said, you know, with God's help, we're going to do this. Now they end a speech with, you know, God bless America, but it's kind of like a lukewarm little thing. And then you had, and we're not going to talk about politics here, but as a Christian, you have to be a little bit incensed when President Obama went before this national meeting of Planned Parenthood. You know, who does about 60% of all the abortions in this country, or might be more than that. And people talk about, oh, but they do mammograms and pap. Well, they do about 2% of all the pap tests that are done in the United States.
Right.
But they make it sound like, well, that's mostly what they do.
Right.
But, so he ends the speech and he says, God bless you. God bless the work you're doing. And God bless America. He said, God bless the work you're doing.
Yeah.
They're killing babies at any stage in pregnancy. And you're asking God to bless that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we've come to. This is the post-Christian era.
Well, it's, you know, in scripture it says, you know, that people are so consumed by their sins, they don't even blush anymore.
Right.
I mean, to make that statement, God bless the work you're doing, you're murdering innocent children.
Yes.
Who can't speak for themselves.
That's right.
I mean, that's.
They lose their ability to blush. I forget the exact reference where that is.
Yeah.
It's either in Isaiah or Jeremiah. I can't remember. But anyway, I'll have to look that up for my homework. But, you know, in terms of the no foundation, I mean, this also shows the moral relativism. So if you say, well, no, you know, the this is a human being from the time of conception. I mean, I was around when this debate started. Well, how do we know when life begins? How do we know?
Yeah.
You know, but, well, now we know.
Now we do.
Right.
The ultrasound, everything, yeah.
The zygote, the fertilized egg, even when it's one cell, has 46 human chromosomes.
Yeah.
And it's not a mystery that that's a human being, because with DNA that's in that cell, there's nothing else that it can be.
Right.
It's not going to develop into a salamander or a, you know, a cow or a corn plant or something. It, all it can be is a human being.
Yeah. I'm laughing. Yeah. Like, yeah, you give birth to a cow or a stock, ear or a corn or something. Plant. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, that one cell is fertilized, the egg is fertilized, and then it divides into two cells.
That's right.
Does a living thing do that? Do that?
Yeah.
Yes. Does a dead thing do that? No.
No. In the 21 days, there's already a heart beating.
Yeah. So, you know, it's typical that people will try to label things for their own benefit,
mm-hmm.
or what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of calling that cell the beginning of human life, they give it a technical term. They go to a scientific term, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But you have to recognize what it is.
We all started out that way.
Every one of us starts out that way. And think about it. You know, how big is a fertilized egg?
Oh, like the head of a pin.
And yet everything that we are,
mm-hmm.
the DNA, the molecular mm-hmm. structure, everything is in there.
At that moment.
Yeah, at that
it's
moment.
Never going to be anything else.
Exactly. So... to say that it's anything else but the start of human life,
right.
is to discount the divine mystery that it is.
Yeah. And the churches, for the most part, have given up the debate.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what can we do? It's established law.
Yeah.
You know, the liberals will always throw that at you.
Yeah.
Well, it's established law.
Yeah.
It's, you know, ruled on by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So,
not God's law.
No, right. Exactly. I mean, slavery was established law, too.
Exactly.
And... you know, this shows the relativism that exists. And we can go on with all the examples, the marriage things, the other life issues. Oh, you know, this guy's 75 years old and he's been kind of sick the last couple of years. You know, what right does he have to keep living?
Yeah.
He's just a drain on society.
It's not looking too good today.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's a drain on society. I mean, the Nazis killed, you know, Downs babies and mentally retarded people and, you know, put them in camps and stuff because they were, you know, they were useless to society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to come to that again.
Well, the Nazis had a whole propaganda campaign that gradually conditioned the society to believe this.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, yeah.
It started with a little thing, mm-hmm. and then it gradually went from there mm-hmm. to internment camps.
The propaganda ministry, Joseph Goebbels, used to say, the more often you tell a lie, the more people will believe it.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a first break already. Oh, this is nice. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
It is the night. Of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the world in sin and in pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Divine. when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We are in the Christmas season now.
Since we're in the Christmas season, yes.
Officially.
Yes.
For another week.
Mm-hmm. 12 days of Christmas.
Until the Epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this, all these things come actually from rebellion is the key to it. Is the center of it, but it comes of worship of self. You know, we decide what's going to be right and wrong.
Pride.
And we, pride. We decide what, you know, whether this is true or not. Who are you to say that that's true? And we have, as I hope to get to as we go on with this show, is we, like you say, are to be the light. We're to be salt and light.
Yeah.
And the question is, are you doing that in your life? So when your coworker says, you know, I'm so sick and tired of these people that blah, 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 do you just say, oh, yeah, me too? Or do you stand up and say, hey, listen, you know, God's word says this, and this is a moral outrage what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you not, you know, say anything at all?
Right.
Or do you just kind of nod your head saying, I better not say anything? And so this worship of self goes back to Romans chapter 1, because after all, Romans is such an awesome book.
I thought you were going to say Romans is my favorite book.
Oh, my second favorite after Hebrews. But everybody already knows that.
Yeah.
That's how I know people.
Unless there's a new listener.
That's how I know when, well, yeah. If our listenership has gone up to six, then, but that's how I know somebody's actually heard the show when they say things like, I know Hebrews is your favorite book, or I know Isaiah is your favorite major prophet. But, you know, at the second half, it actually starts in verse 18 of chapter 1 of the book of Romans. We're not going to read all the scriptures, but Paul points out that what can be known about God is shown to us because God himself has shown it to us. And he's visible in all of the creation. And we understand God by the revelation he makes of himself, gives of himself in the scripture, and by looking around in the creation. Mm-hmm. And 4,000 years ago, whenever it was, nobody could have imagined that that fertilized human egg had 46 chromosomes,
right,
and was a human being. Right. And even 100 years ago, nobody knew that. And it wasn't until the 50s that people started knowing about DNA and analyzing DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And now that DNA, the analysis of DNA is a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it with my DNA and found out a lot of stuff about me that I didn't know.
Yeah.
But nobody's ever said, oh, dude, I got news for you. You're not a human. Because now
we've studied your DNA. You're not in the same category.
You are, in fact, a corn plant. But all these things are so remarkably shown in the creation that,
yeah.
I mean, all kidding aside, these chromosomes in this pattern give you a human who then can be Einstein or can be a mass murderer or can be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this DNA pattern in this way produces a corn plant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really pretty phenomenal, but it's the blueprint of everything.
Yeah.
And to think that this accidentally came to be from nothing, or,
yeah,
I know, out of some slime that was in the pond, you know, some DNA got made.
Yeah.
And that became an amoeba.
Yeah.
And then the DNA changed and that became Einstein.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
You know, when you talk about the architectural blueprint that's there, really.
Yeah.
That is amazing in itself because, yeah, even, you know, with all the technology and computer processes that we have today, can they fit all that on a pinhead?
No.
They can't. Yet it's done.
Mm-hmm.
By intelligent design, by a creator, mm-hmm, by God.
Yes.
Because, you know, even if you look at technology, you know, as computer speeds have gotten faster and faster, they've reached a threshold because they can't push any more information through the structure, you know, the structure that is there.
Yeah.
Until just recently when they came out with a new breakthrough in technology. So it's, to say that it's all just by chance, mm-hmm, and that there's no intelligent design. I mean, think of anybody who builds anything.
Mm-hmm.
They have a set of blueprints.
That's right.
If you start with that, if you start without a set of blueprints, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, as you say, you know, this structure is going to lead to this. This structure is going to lead to this. It's just amazing.
And that pattern of DNA is going to tell what you look like when you're 5 years old, 10 years old, 30 years old,
yeah,
70 years old. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to have blue eyes, brown eyes. Okay. That's an easy one,
mm-hmm,
but it determines every cell in your body and its characteristics.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad, but these things are there. And, you know, Paul adds, so all men are without excuse. In other words, you can't say to God, well, I didn't know you existed. I thought this was all some kind of random thing from the slime. I thought this was all some kind of accidental, you know, the Swiss watch just came together without a watchmaker. But he's going to say, you know, men are without excuse because these things are shown.
Mm-hmm.
And then he adds that although, you know, they don't glorify him as God, they don't become thankful. And so they become futile in their thoughts and their hearts are darkened.
Yeah.
So they profess to be wise. They become fools. You know, we have people all over the, you don't have to watch the TV for very long to see people who are very educated, very well thought of, thought to be leaders in their fields who say ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Because when you have the biblical knowledge of God and how he put his creation together and how these things all show his power, reveal his character, and how he's left us with his word. And then you say some of these things, well, you know, a human baby's not really a human till they're, you know, 2 years old or so. So, you know, if you're not happy with your baby at age a year and a half, you know, bring them back in and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people say stuff like this.
Yeah.
Princeton University, you can Google that. I forget the guy's name offhand. But this is how people think now.
Yeah.
Or, oh, we were really hoping for a girl, so this baby's a boy, so let's end the pregnancy and, you know, maybe we'll try again in a couple of months.
Yeah.
This is kind of normal thinking. Or can we alter the DNA somehow because we really want the boy to look just like so-and-so, or
yeah,
we want him to have blonde hair, blue eyes, and be 6 feet tall, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We can alter the DNA to do that. I mean, people think these things, and so they profess themselves to be wise, mm-hmm, but they become fools because God has revealed himself, yeah, in the creation. And he's revealed himself in the scriptures as well. But even if someone doesn't know anything about the scripture, they know about nature.
They see it in creation, yeah.
Right. And it isn't just human life. It's everything in creation.
Yeah.
I mean, all these galaxies, all this stuff, all the microscopic stuff, all the atomic and subatomic things, these were all like chance occurrences that came out of nothing.
Well, yeah, you think of, as you said, the subatomic particles and stuff that we can't even see.
Yeah.
You can see the reaction when they collide into each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't see them other than that. Or, I mean, even just if you look outside and you see trees.
Yes, exactly.
They're not dead. I mean, if there's leaves on them, if they're green, if they're pine trees and they're green, they're living. Now, granted, they don't have a soul, but
we're looking out this window now, and although it's dark, we know that there's trees out there that don't have any leaves on them.
Right.
But we also know they're not dead.
Exactly.
We know that in a few months, they're going to be green again.
Right. They're going to come back to life. All the grass that was green last summer, mm-hmm, is going to sprout back up and give new life again.
Yes.
It's going to grow again.
Yes.
And so, that's just the plant world. You have the whole animal world and humans if you look around and you see, if you just see creation, God's fingerprint is all through it.
All through it. And also from that passage I just alluded to, the culture does not glorify him, is not thankful. You know, you hear people make glib things like, oh, thank God that it's not raining today. But they mean that as kind of almost like a good luck charm we had some good luck today.
Right.
And you even hear Christians say, oh, you know, I was lucky this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the world hears you say, oh, I'm really lucky that happened to me, or, oh, boy, I've been having some good luck lately.
Right.
You're not spreading the gospel. You're not being light.
Right.
And the culture is not thankful, certainly, because the culture's made its own wisdom. Will we have the wisdom to decide?
Mm-hmm.
And now there are so many churches that say, well, you know, when the scripture said that, you know, it was written to primitive people who didn't know anything. And now we've gone so far beyond that that God can't still possibly think that way.
Somehow the DNA that was in their chromosomes.
Yes.
Was somehow subpar to ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we become fools, and people in the churches become fools. And, you know, somebody might be very well educated, gone to some kind of seminary somewhere and wear all kind of cool stuff when they're preaching, but they can say ridiculous things that have no foundation in the word,
mm-hmm,
and no foundation in Christian thinking and tradition, which has now been totally blown apart.
Right.
And it was so fascinating to me when some years ago, when the Episcopal Church in America, which has gotten pretty liberal. The Anglican, you know, the Episcopal Church, of course, is part of the Anglican community. Mm-hmm. When the Anglican bishops of Nigeria wanted to take over the American church, and Canterbury wouldn't let them do that, but yeah. One of the bishops said, well, the Europeans came here 100 years ago and taught us the faith, and now they've abandoned the faith. We're not going to abandon the faith. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really what church leaders need to do. They
exactly.
Need to stand up and, you know, stand up for the gospel.
Yeah. And so we become fools. And so, you know, that passage in Romans 1 goes on to say, you know, therefore God gives them over to uncleanness, to the lusts of their heart,
mm-hmm.
and they can dishonor their bodies. And boy, have we seen that, you know, the quote sexual revolution of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And now what's, and now it's gone to way further than this, but it's people are basically dishonoring their bodies, dishonoring their God-given human dignity for the sake of pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, Mother Teresa says you have abortion, you're sacrificing babies on the altar of your convenience.
Yeah.
You know, in ancient times there was the god Moloch that people used to burn their babies to.
Yeah.
And now we're doing it because we want convenience, we want sexual pleasure, we want privacy, we don't want to be burdened with this stuff because we have a career. So therefore, we sacrifice the baby.
Yeah.
We have a different kind of Moloch now.
And it's a business.
Yes.
And people make money off of it.
Huge.
Yeah. And, I don't know if there's anything else you can add to it, but, you know, as you were saying that's in, Romans 1. I was looking at that. Romans 1, in verse 25, they exchange the truth of God mm-hmm. for a lie and revered and worshiped the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Therefore, God handed them over to segregating passions, you know, to the the impurity and lust of their own hearts.
Yes.
And you see that in our culture
at every
running
level.
Rampant.
Yes.
Running rampant. And people think that they're okay.
Yes. And kids are watching this stuff on TV
mm-hmm.
and they're learning about it in school.
Yeah.
And their parents are condoning it.
Yeah.
And the parents aren't home saying, oh, listen, kids, you know, this goes against God's law.
Right.
Because they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie.
Yeah, and worst of all, they don't even know God's law.
That's right. And it's become like Isaiah chapter 5 when you substitute, you know, evil for good, bitterness for, you know, for sweet,
mm-hmm.
and all the things that are in Isaiah chapter 5. These things are opposites.
Yeah.
So you exchange the truth of God for a lie. You know, Paul doesn't say the things that were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the things that are God's word, they were just kind of a fad at that time. And these guys had to write that because that's what they thought at that time. But hey, listen, we're way beyond that now. No, Paul writes, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator.
Yeah.
So look at, you got people going to the gym every day. Nothing wrong with going to the gym. But you got people going to the gym every day, eating a healthy diet every day, doing the things that are important for their job. And mm-hmm. these things are necessary. I'm not saying they're not necessary. But that becomes the preeminent things that they do.
Right.
And maybe once in a while, these people will go to church.
Yeah.
But that's once in a while. Mm-hmm. It's pretty unlikely they're going to sit down and read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty unlikely they're going to pray other than, oh God, don't let this happen. You know, or a foxhole prayer if something is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we worship the creature rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, even the faith of, you know, even the foundation that people have in faith, you know, there's people that who are in the church who, well, they want to analyze, or that really what they want to do is build a case against people,
mm-hmm.
and they want to condemn them.
Yes.
And instead of preaching the gospel and spreading the gospel and loving people, they build a case and condemn somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes on in the church all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes on in the world all the time.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does, the leaders in the church, the pastors in the church, need to stand up and say, where's your evidence?
Mm-hmm.
Where's your evidence? And how long you've been doing this?
Yeah.
You know, if you can't tell the works of the devil from the works of the Holy Spirit, then maybe you should just, you know, take off your collar, take off your collar, go and ask for a refund from the Bible college you went to or the seminary and do something else.
Ooh, well put. That's awesome. Ooh, this is awesome too. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
To heaven and nevermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, because the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry, and the youth.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Woo. We're going to make an I love that song.
Yeah.
We're going to have an important announcement coming up at the end. I want to just say a couple of things. And, you know, this business of God gives them over that Paul points out in Romans. You know, he always honors your free will.
That's true.
As Hank Hanegraaff likes to say, he doesn't drag anybody kicking and screaming into heaven. If you don't want to be with them, you're not going to be with them.
Right.
And that's he's not going to interfere with your decision.
Mm-hmm.
So when his truth becomes a lie, and like you were saying before, you proudly violate the moral law.
Yeah.
I mean, proudly violate it. Mm-hmm. And that applies, it doesn't just apply to, you know, church people, it applies to everybody at every level. When you proudly violate the law, he says, okay, that's fine. You can have that if that's what you want.
Yeah.
And he gives them over to what you want. And it says he hands them over, gave them over to a debased mind or a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
So that's what you want to think. That's how you want to go. So you're going to do these things that aren't fitting. Paul says these things aren't fitting.
Right.
And then he also adds at the very end, very last verse of chapter one of Romans is it also applies to people who approve of what they do.
Yeah.
As well as practicing. So if you say, well, you know, I would not have an abortion, but if everybody else wants to do it, that's not my business. Then you're giving over to them. And you're supposed to fight that. And abortion is just one example, of course. And again, we have to emphasize this applies to the whole range of sin, yeah. The whole range of what happens in the flesh. And, you know, like Paul says, the works of the flesh are evident.
Right.
Everybody, you don't have to be a theologian to understand the wrong things that humans do.
Right.
Well, and yeah, go ahead.
You know, when you're saying that, you know, when somebody talks about sins of omission, you don't say anything. I mean, it's right there in Romans, the last verse there in Romans. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Mm-hmm.
You're guilty of the sin too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not doing it. Well, if you know about it, you're not saying anything.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. that's an accessory. That's an accomplice.
Yes.
Even in the civil court.
Yes.
That's an accomplice.
Mm-hmm.
You gave permission. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very sobering. But again, that goes back to being salt and light.
Exactly.
And that would have applied. I mean, that applies at so many different levels because I think, you know, we always talk about how there's a remnant left, and I think there's a remnant left. And I think there's a remnant left, and I hope whoever's listening is part of the remnant, because you meet a lot of people who are not in the remnant, for sure. What can I do? I can't do that. Oh, yeah, you know, I used to go to church and do all that stuff, but I don't care about that anymore. And, you know, these kind of things go on and on and on. But, you know, if you're in this remnant, you can't be undercover. You can't be, you know, God always has
secret agents.
Yes. God always has his witnesses in the world.
Yeah.
He always has his people. Like he told Elijah, you're not the only one. I got 7,000. He told Paul, go back in the city. I got people in the city.
He did tell Elijah that.
Yeah. Cause Elijah was whining. He
Quit
was
your whining. One.
Yeah. He said, stop your whining. I got 7,000.
Yeah.
And Paul was like, I can't remember what city it was, but he says, oh, you know, and the Lord said to Paul, St. Paul, my hero, who I hope someday to get a high five from, Paul, my hero, the Lord said to him, you can go into the city. I have people there. You're not the only one.
Yeah.
You're not going to go into the city and be the only Christian. I got people there.
Yeah.
And there are people all around, but I fear the number's gotten smaller.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, step up to the plate, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
And if you go to a church where your pastor or priest or whatever you have starts making some of these, well, you know, we can't really do that. And well, you know, these people really have, then you have to stand up and say, yeah, but God's word doesn't say that.
Yeah.
Not that you have to beat people with the Bible and not that you have to stand, because, you know, if anybody's analyzed fully, It won't take long for people to discover all your weaknesses.
That's true. That's true.
You know, like a lot of times I'm at a prayer group or a Bible study group and I say, you know, we could spend all the rest of the night here talking about what horrible sins each of us have done.
Yeah.
And I don't think you want to hear about mine and I don't want to hear about yours, but believe me, they're there and it wouldn't take long for them to come to the surface.
Yeah.
And so you can't be, you know, you can't be judgmental in the way the Pharisees were.
Yeah, exactly.
Or say, well, I'm the holy guy and you're a mess.
Yeah.
Because we're all a mess. But at least, you know, if you're in this remnant of people, you realize that you're a mess, but you know why you're a mess. Mm-hmm. If you're not in the remnant, you don't even realize you're a mess.
Yeah. 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 You know that there's salvation at the, you know, your salvation isn't dependent on yourself. Your salvation is in the gift of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Amen. And so it's time to be salt and light. There's a lot of other, oh my goodness, the time is up.
It is.
Anyway, what we're going to say is next week when you tune in on Sunday nights, all four of you, Gift of Grace Radio will now be a 1.5-hour show instead of a 1-hour show for various reasons. So I hope you'll continue to tune in. We're going to continue to do the same kind of thing we've been doing.
From 7:30 to 8?
From 7:30 to 8. So 8 it'll be PM. From 7:30 to 8 p.m.
PM
on Sundays.
Okay.
It'll still be on the Lord's Day, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you have had an awesome Christmas and that the peace of Christ is filling your heart and the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.